This morning, will you find in your Bibles Isaiah 53, please? And I'd like to read you most of the chapter. I want to start in verse 3 and read the rest. It's Isaiah 53:3. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ promised in the Scriptures. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Blessed be the word of the Lord. So I'd like to call your attention especially to the last three verses of that passage, 10, 11, and 12, because they foretell that this suffering servant survives his own death. Do you understand that? Those words don't go together. He survives his own death. Nothing could be clearer from the first three quarters of the chapter that this despised and afflicted one died. He was punished with death. He was handed over to death. He was wounded, you see. He was bruised. He was lashed. He was led to the slaughter. Punished for sins. Okay, it says he was cut off. And finally, he was entombed in a grave. Chapter 52 says that his appearance was so damaged that he was hardly even recognizable as a man. Okay? And then it says, God himself put him to grief. That's what verse 10 says. God himself put him to grief. However, in verses 10, 11, and 12, clearly he is being spoken of as yet living. He shall see his seed, it says. Dead men don't see anything, right? He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord, that is the will of the Lord, the goals that God wants to achieve in the world, shall prosper in his hand. He shall witness or behold the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Okay, clearly he is being spoken of as yet living. Now, why is he going to be glad? Verse 11 tells us, it says that by knowledge of him, by his knowledge, many shall be justified. That is why he is glad. He shall bear away their iniquities. And I, God says, I will divide him a portion with the great. I will reward him. And he will divide the spoil with the strong. because he poured out his soul to death and he was numbered with the transgressors. Okay? Because he died, because he submitted himself to being made a sin sacrifice, he will now go on to claim victory, to receive honor and glory, to receive and give rewards. He is alive. What is this thing that we're seeing here in Isaiah chapter 53? It is, as the author of Hebrews puts it, the power of an indestructible life. An indestructible life. It was impossible, Peter says, that death could keep its hold on him. Understand that? We just sang it. He tore the bars away. He burst forth from death. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the pangs of death. It is this resurrected man that we proclaim to you as Lord and Savior. God has highly exalted his servant Jesus. That is how the preaching begins in the book of Acts. God has seated his servant Jesus at his right hand. He has crowned him with glory and honor. He's promised him the possession of the nations of the earth for his inheritance. Every knee will bow to him. Now, all those terrible woes and the brutality of the cross, everything that we see in the first three quarters of this chapter, that's behind him now. It's forever behind him. So today, we call upon you, if you have not been reconciled to God, make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is for you. He lives forever to intercede for transgressors, and that is you, and that is me. He is just what we need. We need somebody who can take away our guilt and our pollutions and our transgressions. As Isaiah says, he did no sin. There was no deceit in his mouth. Therefore, he's fitting for us. He is just what we need because he is holy and blameless and undefiled. God put him to grief, yes, but not for his own faults. Do you see? God was setting him forth as a sin sacrifice for the sins of others. Now, friends, Jesus is the one that God has provided. We are assured that this is the case because it was foretold all of these centuries ahead of time. This is why we open up to Isaiah and to other books of the Hebrew Scriptures. Okay, I've told you before, and I will say it again. The more that you familiarize yourself with the prophets and with the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, the stronger your faith will be. Because by them we know that Jesus Christ is the one that God has made Lord of all. Because everything that happened to him was written ahead of time, and then God brought it to pass as he promised he would. And if people are not believers in Jesus Christ, it can only be because they don't know or haven't understood what was foretold about him. Okay? What is that cross all about? What is this day all about, they ask. Okay? That's now become our job, Christians. Simply to explain what is this about. That's why if you read Acts, for example, chapter 5, the apostles get arrested, they get thrown in jail for a night, and the angel comes and lets them out, and he says, go back out to the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. Okay, tell the people. That is what you and I are supposed to be doing. Okay, Peter begins by saying, brothers, men of Israel, let me explain. That is simply our job. Let me explain. And how does he explain? In order to do so, he goes right to the prophets. Okay? Joel, David, Isaiah, Zechariah. He says, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on forward, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. Peter gets the Bible out and he shows them this was foreordained of God. Okay? The things that happened to Jesus, his resurrection, his death, and his glorification, all of these are the things that God, in his power and purpose, decided ahead of time were going to happen. That is his plan to reconcile you and me to himself by clearing away the guilt of our sins. Okay? And it is true, as Isaiah says here in this chapter, it is true that God has now exalted and glorified his servant Jesus. And he will divide the spoil with the strong. Okay, we see that in the New Testament. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Friends, I have a couple of things for you to consider today about what the fact of the resurrection says about Jesus Christ. What does the fact of the resurrection say about him? First and most importantly, the resurrection testifies to his being the unique chosen one of God, because only the all-powerful can break the power of death. Is that so?
Amen.
Can you break the power of death? No.
No.
Can any man? No. Only the one who invented life. Think about it. He invented life. He created life. Only he can reverse the loss of life. Yes? It is God who holds that power. The return of Jesus up from among the dead, literally days after his death, can only be explained by the supreme power and direct act of God. And in raising Jesus up from the dead, God testified to his full approval of his Son, Jesus. He is the one that God has appointed to judge the living and the dead. All authority on heaven and on earth belongs to him. Okay, and it says right in the first couple of verses of Romans, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That means every man and woman and child in this room and all the ones outside of this room must somehow, someday, reckon with him, for he is the one that God has chosen. Secondly, the resurrection validates all of Jesus' teaching, all of it. Isaiah says, no deceit was found in his mouth. That means we must pay very careful attention to what we've received. We have this priceless gift. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount for a year. We have this priceless gift of the recorded words of the Son of God delivered to us in the pages of this book. They are words of truth. They are words of righteousness. They are words of God's very wisdom. They are the words by which the world will be judged. Let us not ever drift away from them. Let's hold fast to the faith. And that is, when I say the faith, I mean the faith, the teaching that Jesus Christ entrusted to his apostles. Having the words of God, we have no excuse for not knowing them. Knowing them, we have no excuse for not obeying them. Is that clear?
Yes.
Will any of the Lord Jesus' words fall to the ground? Not a one. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I have not spoken on my own, he said. The Father who sent me gave me the command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment means everlasting life. Therefore, what I speak is just what the Father told me to speak, and so he who rejects me and doesn't receive my words has that which will judge him. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Okay? You have it, disciples and friends. We must pay closer attention to the things that our Lord says, because his words will stand forever. Thirdly, what is the significance of the resurrection? Since Christ was raised and has now gone into the heavens, he could then ask the Father for and then send down to us the Holy Spirit to abide forever in the hearts of those who come to him. Okay, this is the so great salvation that the Bible speaks of. It is a fountain of living water welling up within the human heart. It is God's own nature in you or in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now that was a promise that was made. Peter goes right to Joel. This is the promise that was made so long ago in the writings of the prophets. Today it is able to be fulfilled since the price of our sin has been paid. And the one who paid it is worthy to ask for and receive from the Father all that he asks. And he said, when I go to my Father, I'm going to ask him to send you the Comforter, the Helper, the Counselor. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, because they don't know me, Jesus said. They don't know me or my Father. So this is why, friends, it is our job to explain Jesus Christ to men and women so that they may know him, okay? So that they may bow the knee, acknowledge him as Lord of all and Savior, so that they may receive the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit gives you divine power for living, power for discerning the will of God, the mind of God, power to be the channels of his blessing in this sad, broken world, okay? Power to bring others into a state of peace with God. Okay? Jesus said, you'll bear much fruit. Great things you shall do because I go to my Father and I will send the Holy Spirit to reside in you. Okay? And that's what Isaiah foresees when he says, the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands. God is a saving God. He wants to save the world. Salvation goes to the ends of the earth. How? Through his Spirit-filled children. Yes. We only can receive the Holy Spirit because Christ is risen. Okay, so the resurrection testifies to Jesus. It validates all his teaching. It opens the way for the Holy Spirit to come dwell with men. Now, fourthly, the resurrection means that we have a living intercessor. We have an advocate on our behalf right in the very presence of God. Amen. And that is his dearly beloved Son. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, friends, this cannot be overstated, that the prayers of those who are in Christ get heard.
Amen. Amen.
Because Jesus has an indestructible life, Hebrews says. He is and will permanently remain our mediator, our high priest, the one who speaks into the very ears of God for us. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he is alive forever to intercede for us. Our prayers get heard. I hope that's very encouraging. God acts on our behalf. It is a very high privilege to have that direct connection to God through the risen Christ. It is a great reason to celebrate a day like today. Fifthly and finally, the resurrection means that death is no longer an absolute. That, I'm sure you must agree, that is good news.
Yes.
Thanks to Jesus Christ, who died as a ransom to set sinners free, an indestructible life is now offered to you and to me as well. Do you understand that? That is incredible. The Lord laid on him, the iniquity of us all of the punishment for our sins. And what is the wages of sin? Death was spent upon him. He poured out his soul unto death. That means there is now no further demand that sin can make. Death will not be able to hold us either, any more than it could hold him. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. Whoever believes in me, friends, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes. Yes.
Even though he dies, he will live again.
Yes.
Death cannot keep its prey because Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
The scripture says that he will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Okay, what does that mean? It means that he's going to call us forth out of our graves.
Yes.
We will be freed from the bonds of death and decay. We will be raised up in power and glory, just as Jesus Christ himself was raised at his command. We will have a body that will never die. It will never know pain ever again, just as Jesus himself has. Okay? That means that Christians do not grieve the way others grieve, because we know that death is a powerless enemy. We know that we have been given indestructible life. Death itself will someday come to an end. Blessed is he that cometh to bring us salvation. Yes? The promise of all of this was made long ago, dear friends. It's laid up there in the prophets for you to see. Look, I say, and discover it for yourself. See the promises of God. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, it has been God's objective to undo the curse of sin, the damage of sin in the world, and to save his beloved creation from the curse of death. On a Sunday morning, nearly 2,000 years ago, the earth, for the first time, surrendered its dead. But it won't be the last time. Okay? The scripture says, each one in his own turn. First, Christ, the first fruits, right? He is the first fruits of those who sleep. He is the firstborn from among the dead. What does firstborn mean? There are others. Then when he comes, the scripture says, those who belong to him. And that is what today is all about. Christians, hear me. You have a message to pass on, to spread it far and wide. The full message of this new life, an indestructible life. I have mine. This flesh and bones man you see, I will live forever. I hope you will too. Christ is my Savior and Lord. He is the joy of my heart. What about you? What about you? If you never knew all this before, do you understand today? Do you understand? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is risen indeed, and God will give you the gift of his Holy Spirit. He will give you an inheritance among the holy ones. Do not turn away from such a great salvation.
Yes.
And you who are Christ's, can't you go out of here and say, friends, Americans, let me explain. Let me explain to you how God glorified his servant Jesus, how he suffered and died to bring many sons to glory. And once his work was complete, it is finished, he burst the bonds of death, and now he is the source of indestructible life to all who obey him. Let's glorify his name today. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, blessed be your name forever. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day, for the promise of everlasting life, for your precious Spirit to abide with us and teach us and change us from glory into glory, a little bit at a time, always pressing higher. Thank you for these, my dear brothers and sisters. I love them. We love each other. We love you, Lord God. We pray that you would add to our number those who are being saved. We pray, Lord, that you would instill that love of purity and righteousness and holiness in us, just as you are holy. Lord, help us to repent of our sins, to press on to holiness, to love you with all our hearts and soul. Lord, that very greatest command, that we would love you as you have loved us. Lord God, blessed be your name forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, save us. Put your words in our mouth, Holy Spirit, so that indeed we can bring others into your blessed kingdom. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.